understand it. He's saying the problem is not that God is not talking. The problem is our reception. Sometimes we're just not tuned in. God wants to be in relationship with you. He wants to talk to you. And you can't have a relationship without communication. So he's created you with the capacity to hear his voice. The question is, how does God talk to us? The thing is, God is not limited to any single way. There are numerous ways that he communicates with us. And that's why this series is essentially all about recognizing God's voice in the many different ways that he wants to communicate with us. The Bible reveals some very spectacular ways God has communicated with people in the past. I think we'd be shocked by some of them if they happened to us. God once spoke through a burning bush. He's spoken through a cloud. He's spoken through angels. One time he spoke through a pillar of fire. Imagine that happening to you. Another time he even spoke to a prophet called Balaam through a donkey. Don't extend that thought too far about how people in your life are speaking. Anyways, this morning we're going to identify the four most common ways that God speaks to us today. Likely the most common way that God speaks to us is through the Bible. In 2 Timothy 3, we read, "The whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point." God speaks to us by his Spirit through his word, through Scripture. Right? The Bible is not just a collection of wonderful thoughts and ideas of men. It's actually inspired by God. The word literally means in the Greek, God breathed. That means that the Bible is reliable as it finds its source in him. It can be counted on to guide you, to correct you, to comfort you, to help you. One theologian once remarked, "When I open my Bible, God opens his mouth." If you don't ever read the Bible, how can God talk to you? This is why it's so important to have a daily quiet time where you sit down for 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes. It doesn't really matter the amount of time. And you simply let God talk to you through his word. And you speak with him. You talk with him in prayer. Right? If you're not doing that on a daily basis, you're missing one of the primary ways that God wants to speak with you. For those of you who say, "God never talks to me," are you in the Bible every day? This is how God wants to speak to you. If you're not reading the Bible, you're offline. God can't get through to you. If I told you that tomorrow morning at 5 a.m., the Prime Minister of Canada or the Queen of England wanted to meet with you downtown in our Parliament buildings, I don't care what you think of our Prime Minister or of the Queen, I'm pretty sure you'd get up and you would go. When somebody that important wants to meet with you and speak with you, you go. Even more important, God wants to meet with you. God wants to meet with you tomorrow. And you don't even have to go downtown. You can meet with him at your kitchen table or in your family room, in your favorite chair with a cup of coffee in hand. He is waiting to meet with you. The creator of this vast universe wants to have a conversation with you. He wants to speak with you on a regular basis. You need to get into God's word because that is the number one way he speaks with us. If the only time you're reading the Bible is every other week or so, you're going to miss a whole lot of what God wants to say to you. Now, I admit that the Bible can be a very intimidating book. In the first place, how many other books are bound in leather? Right? That can put some people off. It's leather. I don't know about that. How many other books do you know have a number virtually before every sentence? It's kind of strange. I get it. And if you use an old translations, you have to kind of walk your way through the these and the thous and lots of words you don't understand and strange names and places, foreign words, distant customs that don't make sense. Yes, the Bible can be intimidating. But the Bible is God's word to us. It's his story with us. Inside it are directions and signposts that lead you to life. A few years ago, I purchased a motorcycle. And along with that motorcycle came a little book that contained some very important information on carrying and operating the bike. And one of the first things that I did is I familiarized myself with that book to follow what it said to do, knowing that if I followed those instructions, the motorcycle was going to run better and it was going to last a whole lot longer. It taught me how to keep from putting the bike under unnecessary stress. In a way, that's what the Bible does. Some of you are under stress right now because you don't know what's in God's Word. And you're not following what it says to do. God speaks by His Spirit through His Word, and He gives us information and direction that points us to a meaningful and fulfilling life with Him. So some of you are sitting here thinking, okay, so how do I get started in this book? Do I start with Genesis and just walk my way through it? I wouldn't suggest that, particularly if you're just getting started in the Bible. In the first place, what I would recommend is get a new translation, and there are many of them. The Bible was originally written in Hebrew and Greek, and I'd suggest you get a readable version, a version like the New International Version or the New Living Translation, or even the English Standard Version. If you don't have a Bible, we have one for you at the Welcome Center. You can pick it up after the service. There are a number of good translations, so start with something that is readable. Then you might want to get a study Bible that will give you some guides and some aids. One great good one is called the Life Application Bible. It helps explain the customs that you find in there, some of the rituals, some of the history, some of the context. Then you need to set a regular time to be alone with God as you read His Word. There are lots of good books and tools out there that teach you how to study the Bible. Next, I would suggest you start in the New Testament. If you've never read the Bible at all, I'd recommend that you start with the book of James. James will give you some very practical stuff to get you going in your Christian walk. And then head over to John and read his gospel. Start acquainting yourself with who Jesus is, what he did, how he lived, how he raised up disciples. Then go back and read Matthew. Look again at the life of Christ more closely. Listen to the words. Soak in his teaching. For others of you looking for a helpful Bible reading plan, I'd encourage you to check out something called the Moravian Text. You can go to moravian.org and look for the daily text. You can have it sent to you every day. This is what we do on staff here. I mentioned that every morning as we get together, this is how we start our day together. We read the New Testament portion of the Moravian Text and we ask ourselves two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we going to do about it? What I do every day is I use a little acronym to work my way through in my quiet time. I use the word SOAP, and it stands for this. I open up my laptop and I write down one of those scripture verses or a word that stood out to me. And then I write down an observation and asking myself, okay, what is God saying to me through this text? And then I have to apply it to my life. What am I going to do about this? And then I write out a short prayer. I've been doing this for the last few years and it has really enhanced, almost revolutionized my spiritual journey. Because every day I'm listening for what God is saying. I'm noting what He has said to me. And then I'm also writing down what He wants me to do about it. We need to get into God's Word because that's the number one way that He speaks with us. Note this way as well. God also speaks to us through godly people, particularly gifted teachers and communicators. Have you ever sat in church, a church service like this, and felt like God was speaking directly to you and that nobody else in the audience mattered? But that what was being said for you, it just hit you in the heart. Well, He was speaking to you. At that very moment, God was speaking through a gifted teacher, a communicator, impressing upon your heart what He wanted to say to you. God often uses other people, godly people, to share His word with us. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul experienced with a church in Thessalonica. He writes to them, "When we preached to you, we didn't think of the words as being just our own. But you accepted it as the very word of God," which it, of course it was. And it changed your lives. God speaks through godly people. And it changes our lives when we listen to them. Many years ago when I was a teenager, I remember one church service that I went to. It was during a family camp meeting. The speaker on one particular evening got my attention. And what he said really, really hit me hard. And I knew that God was speaking to me through him. And it was really a turning point in my life. It was on that night that I decided to go to Bible college. And it was at Bible college that I first got a real heart and passion for ministry and for the church. That one simple message through that godly man, changed my life. God spoke to me through a gifted teacher. Several years later, after I'd finished university and was on my way to chiropractic college, I went back to a camp. Well, God got my attention again in a big way through a different speaker. He was talking about how God uses people and how he calls people to leadership and building his church. And that's the evening that Sean and I committed ourselves to allow God to lead us into full-time Christian ministry. And if you had told me years ago that I'd be working in a church, I would have said, "You're crazy." My aspirations and dreams were in an entirely different direction. I had no intention of ever working in full-time Christian ministry. I look back on that and think, what if I'd missed those messages? What if I had decided to go out for ice cream instead of going to that church service? Those were turning points in my life. It's also why it's not good to miss worship on a Sunday morning. You don't ever want to miss what God has to say to you. What if God inspired the speaker to prepare a message that was going to speak into your life and you'd miss it because you didn't come? So show up whenever you can and give God a chance to speak to you. The Bible tells us that God speaks through people, godly people. God gives us gifted communicators and teachers to share his word. Some Sundays you might really sense that God is speaking to your heart through the message to the point where you think, you know, Pastor Eckbert's been reading your mail, right? He's like, what's going on here? This is totally for me. Well, we're not smart enough to do that, but God knows exactly what you need to hear. And he directs us in shaping what we say to impress ideas and truths on us and then on to you. That's how God speaks to you. And if you have a living faith in Christ and you're a believer, God speaks through you as well, probably more often than you even know. How many times, if you could go back over your life, has a friend come to you asking for input on something that they were wrestling with, something they were struggling with, and they said, can you tell me, what do you think I should do? And you simply, in the quiet, shared with them the thought that was on your heart, and it turned out to be a pivotal point in their journey. And you didn't even think about it twice. As they were sharing their challenge with you, a helpful idea popped into your mind. Where do you think that idea came from? God was speaking to you and through you for that person's benefit. If you're a committed Christ follower, God can speak through you and you won't necessarily even know it. It's not some big supernatural thing. It's just the way God wired you. He can give you ideas. He can give you thoughts that when you share them, they give inspiration or direction to another person's life. He speaks to us by giving us thoughts to pass along to others. Again, from the Apostle Paul's journey, take a look at this from the Corinthian church. It says, we do not speak in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit as we explain spiritual truths. When gifted teachers teach, they help bring understanding to God's word, what God wants to say to us. Obviously, the more teaching you hear, the more God will have opportunity to speak to you by his Spirit. That's why once a week isn't enough. You need to have the regular input of godly people in your life more than just once a week. I mean, imagine if you fasted for 6 days and then on the seventh day, you just totally pig out. How'd that work out for you? You'd probably have a bad case of indigestion. Some of you have spiritual indigestion. The only Bible you get is 30 minutes on Sunday morning. The rest of the week, you've got no more teaching in your life. That's why it's so important to get into a study, into a smaller group where God's word, where truth is discussed, where you're sharing the journey with other godly people. So schedule time with some godly people who give input into your life. God speaks through them. Do what you can to fill your mind with good things from God's word, learning from the Bible on a regular basis and hearing from them. So God speaks through godly people. Note this one as well. God speaks through impressions. I've hinted at this one already, in that God gives us ideas. He gives us thoughts. He speaks to our heart. And when God puts an idea in your mind, we call that inspiration. I was inspired. I got a creative idea. Well, where do you think that idea, that thought came from? It came from God, the Creator. When you're being creative, you're being like God. We're made in God's image. And God, the Creator of human beings, has given us the ability to be creative, to listen to him. And when God puts an idea in your mind, it's called inspiration. We also know that the evil one can put an idea in your mind too. We call that temptation. So he's trying to speak to you too. The Gospel of John tells us this. The Holy Spirit will be your teacher and will bring to your mind all that I have said to you. These are Jesus' words here. Right? Bring to your mind means he gives us impressions. He gives us ideas. He reminds us of truth. He gives us these gut feelings. God often does this. Right? Some of your most brilliant ideas, they weren't yours. God was giving them to you, whether it was a business idea, a family idea, a relationship idea, a financial idea. God gave you those ideas. The one who loves you and cares for you. The one who's infinitely interested in every detail of your life. Right? And it doesn't necessarily feel like these ideas are coming from him because he does it so naturally. You were made to receive impressions from God. Now, there's a lot of confusion out there about how we receive impressions from God. Next week, I'll actually be spending most of our time looking at this whole area. We're going to look at how to receive inspiration, how to receive impressions from God. But then I'm going to teach you how to test those things that you think are impressions, how to evaluate them to figure out whether they're really from God or whether it's some of the bad pizza you had from the night before talking to you, right? But let me just say this for now. There are two extremes you need to avoid when you're thinking about impressions. One is that rationalistic side, and the other is that mystic side. The rationalist denies that God ever speaks to us through our mind. He says God only speaks through the Bible and never gives you any impressions. The mystic thinks that every impression that they get is from God. And that's obviously wrong too. Both of these extremes need to be avoided. Right? The rationalist who thinks God never gives me an idea misses out on God's counsel, his comfort, his care, his concern, even the challenges and the way he guides us in the ways of life. They miss it all. On the other hand, the mystic who thinks that every impression they get is from God tends to make a lot of unwise mistakes and they embarrass themselves. They say, God told me to do this, and then they go bankrupt or they get into debt because they bought something they didn't need or couldn't afford, but they kind of felt they should do that. What happened? They missed God in the process. Both extremes are to be avoided. Let me also at this point just briefly address one other thing that I think some of you are having questions about. It comes from the book of Job, where it says this. God speaks again and again in dreams and in visions at night when the deep sleep falls as people lie on their beds. He opens their ears in times like that and gives them wisdom and instruction. So the first thing that we need to notice is that God does speak in dreams and in visions. Why? Why would God do this when we're asleep? Probably because that's when we're most relaxed, we're not distracted, our defenses are lowered at the moment. God does speak through dreams and visions. But let me just put like a big caution sign here. You need to be really, really careful with this too. The best way to do this, by the way, if you want to try this, is to ask God a question right before you're going to sleep. If you're going through a certain situation, you can ask, you can say, God, what do you want me to do about this situation at work? What do you want me to do about this situation here at home with one of my children? You can ask that and you can say, God, if you want to tell me, fine. If you don't, that's okay too. Many times you probably won't get any answer at all. But sometimes you might. It's really up to God. You can also ask God as you're going to sleep, God, what's the next step? What's the next step with my family? What's the next step with the project that I'm working on at work? What's this, my next step in my relationship with so-and-so? God, tell me what you want me to do. Direct me. Speak to me. Ask God a question and give him the opportunity to speak into that. And sometimes you'll wake up and you'll just have a sense of what you should do. But many times he won't talk to you. And don't sweat that. And note this. Most of your dreams are not God speaking to you. Okay? Scientists tell us when we're dreaming, our minds are simply reorganizing information. We're just processing what we've experienced. You read something. You might watch a newscast. You might watch a movie. You might talk to somebody. You might read the paper, hear something on the radio. And when you go to sleep at night, you dream something totally outrageous. And some of you do a lot of dreaming. Some of you, you're like, I slept, right? I'm married to someone who wakes up and she goes, you would not believe what I dreamt, right? And I'm like, that's pretty fantastic. But it was just her sorting stuff out, right? So most of your dreams are not God speaking, okay? Not everything that you dream is from God. A lot of times you're simply processing a bunch of different things and it's highly unreliable. So let me say again, please, please be very careful on this. Right? The potato chips that you ate before you went to bed, which you shouldn't have eaten, might just affect what you dream about too. Okay? And remember, the evil one can speak to you as well. Not every idea that comes to your mind is from God. So here's the thing. Always, always test impressions that you get. Always test them. We'll talk about that next week. But never make a decision on an impression alone. You need to test the impressions that you receive. Again, next Sunday we'll talk about that a little bit more. But let me just say this. If you get an impression from God, it always has to match what He would say in His Word. It has to match with what the Bible says. If you ever get an impression that is opposite to what God said in the Bible, I guarantee you that is not from God. God never contradicts what He's already said. He's not going to give you an impression that is contrary to the truth of His Word. Right? I've heard of guys who said, you know, I've prayed really hard about this thing and I feel that God is speaking to me that I'm supposed to leave my wife and kids and go run off with this 19-year-old bimbo. Really? Who are you kidding? Right? Or they say, you know, I know God wants me to be honest and He wants me to tell the truth all the time, but I'm going to fudge the numbers on my hours at work or on my expense sheets at work. Or, you know what, I'm really not keen on paying tax. I don't like Trudeau, so I'm just going to do a little bit of creative counting. God told me to. Are you kidding me? Are you for real? When we ever say, I know God wants me to do this, but... You need to check it out with the Bible first. When you ignore God's word, you're in for trouble. When you don't do what the Bible says, you're not hurting God, you're hurting yourself. Finally, God speaks through life circumstances, particularly our painful ones. Have you ever noticed in life that we don't change when we see the light, we change when we feel the heat? Not too many of us really like to change, and so we fear what it might do to us. But once the pain is greater than the fear, we change. And God is so interested in speaking to you. He's so interested in having a personal relationship with you and loving you and you loving Him and being able to talk about everything. He will even allow you to experience certain things to get your attention. The writer of Proverbs says this, sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Anybody? Anybody experience this? Come on now, be honest here. Anybody? Oh, I guess you're a lot more spiritual than I am. Okay, right on. Good. Hope you don't have to have pain in your life. I think if we're honest, every one of us knows this one by experience. But also hear this. Not all pain is God speaking to you. Not every hurt, not every ache and pain that you have is God talking to you. Hear that. But some of it is. And God often has to use pain in order to slow us down to get our attention. I had this happen to me while I was studying in Europe. I broke my leg playing soccer, and there was stuff going on in my life at that time that needed to happen. At that point in my journey, God had to lay me flat on my back to get me to look up to Him and pay attention to Him. Has God ever had to do that to you? Sadly, friends, there are some lessons that we only learn through pain. Take a look at Psalm 119. It says, I used to wander off until you punished me. Now I closely follow all you say. The punishment you gave me was the best thing that could have happened to me, for it taught me to pay attention to your laws. Pain gets our attention. Someone has said it's God's little hearing aid. C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, but He shouts to us in our pain. In a way, pain is God's megaphone. When we're hurting, God is saying, hey, there's somebody here who wants to help you. You can depend on me. I'll help you through that tough time if you simply invite me in. So pain can be God's way of getting your attention. Listen to it. So here at Grace Point, our whole mission is to make more and better Christ followers. And part of that is teaching us to hear God speak to us and then do what He's asking us to do. When you hear God speak, really, he speaks into your heart and you act on it, you are changed. If Jesus Christ is in your life and if you're walking with him daily, you're in relationship with him, a relationship that is personal and real, you can and will change over time for the better. You can't have your life turn around for the good unless you get a power greater than yourself in you to do it and to develop that relationship with Jesus Christ. So God speaks to us by his Spirit in these different ways. So here's a question that we have to ask ourselves. Why is it so important to really hear God speak? There's three reasons. The first one is this. If I hear God's voice, it assures me that I'm in God's family. The proof that you really know Jesus Christ, that you have a relationship with him, is that you hear him speak with you. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I know those who are mine, and they hear my voice." If you've never heard God speak to you, and again, I'm not talking audibly, but I'm talking about him guiding you through his word, where you just have this sense deep right in here, this is God moving me in a certain direction. This is what I know he wants me to do. If you've never heard God speak in that way, if you've never sensed his speaking into your heart and into your mind, you have every reason to doubt that you're really a true believer, that you're in the family of God. Because Jesus said, "Those who are mine hear my voice." Now, some of you are brand new believers, and when you first get started, sometimes it's a little bit difficult to figure out, is this God talking to me or not? You're not used to, you've not become accustomed to his voice yet. And it's a journey. But if you walk with him, you will become accustomed to his voice. If you're really a child of God, you're going to come to recognize when it is that your Father is speaking with you. You know, as a kid, when my dad called me to come into the house for supper or to do an errand or to do some chore around the house, he didn't have to say, "This is Daniel Lutzer, your father, speaking with you. Do this." No, he just said, "Do this." He just started talking to me and I knew his voice. Why? Because we were in relationship. If you don't have that, if you don't hear God speaking with you, you need to take that step of faith and respond to Jesus' invitation to enter into a relationship with him that is personal and real, where you hear him. Right? This eternal quality of life that he offers us is available to anyone who says, "Jesus, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to communicate with you." Now, some of you know about Jesus, but you don't really know him. Maybe you grew up around religion, but you know you're not in a personal relationship with him. You may have gone to Sunday school, even confirmation class as a kid, and now you're here in church, but you just have a sense you don't really have this relationship with him that's real. You know about him, but you don't know him. There's a guy who used to come to our house virtually every single day of the week except Saturdays and Sundays, up until a couple of years ago. He was called the mail carrier, or the postman, or the way Justin Trudeau says, post-human, right? I knew who the guy was. I knew what he looked like. I'd say hi to him when I'd see him. He even brought gifts and parcels to our door. And then we got the community mailboxes. I knew him, but I didn't really know him. I knew about him. And there's a big difference there. One of the proofs that you know that you're a believer is that God talks to you on a regular basis and you want to listen, you want to hear what he's saying, and you want to talk with him. Many people think, sadly, that God only speaks to super saints. That's not true. Otherwise, he wouldn't speak with me. Those of you who are parents, do you only talk to the smartest kid that you have in the family or your best behaved child? I think you talk to all your children. God talks to all his children, young believers, old believers, new believers, wherever you're at in your journey. So it's important that I hear God speak with me because it assures me that I'm a part of the family. It also protects me from mistakes. Listening to God's voice can protect me from so much harm. If I simply do what he's telling me to do in his word, or as he gives me an impression, or if I listen to the godly people in my life, or I take a look at my life circumstances and see God speaking through that, it protects me. From the book of Job, God speaks, causing them to change their mind and keeping them from pride and from falling into some trap. If you listen to God, God will warn you in advance and you'll avoid making a bunch of painful mistakes. He'll tell you some of these things. You just need to ask Him. Right? Some of you today, you're here, you're in a relationship, you're considering to take to the next level, or you're in a relationship that you want to end. Ask God what He thinks before you make a move. Some relationship dilemmas are really clear. If you're considering moving in with somebody that you're not married to, God would say, don't do that. That's not good. Some of you are being challenged to make an unethical decision of work, and God is saying, don't do it. I'm going to protect you from stuff. Some of you are being challenged to put other priorities ahead of God or ahead of your family, and God says, don't be foolish. Don't do this. He'll save you from mistakes. Every time I ignore what God is saying to me, it gets me into some trouble. And finally, it's important to listen to God's voice because it's the secret of a fruitful and productive life. The more I depend on God's guidance, the more successful I am. And success, by the way, here is knowing God's will and staying in step with Him, doing what He's asking me to do. So if you want to make an impact with your life, if you want to be effective, be receptive to God's voice. Listen to what He's telling you and then do it. Jesus said, the person who shares my life and whose life I share will be fruitful. God is speaking. Are you listening? God wants to speak with you, and He'll use many different ways. The ones that we touched on this morning are the four most common, but He'll use other ways too. Why does God go through all this trouble to talk with you, to speak with you? It's because He loves you. You matter to Him. You're important to Him. And you were made to have a relationship with God. And if you don't ever establish that, you really miss your whole purpose for life. You'll miss the very reason you were created. He wants to have a relationship with you, one in which you are in close contact with Him every day. Some of you have sensed God speaking to you this morning. What does God want to say to you today? He says, today, if you hear God's voice speaking to you, do not harden your heart against Him. Remember what we talked about last week? What kind of a heart does God want us to have? He wants us to have a receptive heart, an obedient heart, a heart that does what He's telling us to do. So no matter how long you've ignored God's voice up until this point, He still loves you, and He still wants to have a relationship with you. Respond to His voice today. Would you pray with me? Let's bow our heads. Some of you may be in pain today. Some of you may be depressed. Some of you might be filled with anxiety. It might be over a health issue, a family member, a friend who's suffering. It may be over finances or your marriage or your desire to get married, or you're in a relationship you're not sure of and you're anxious. You're worried. Others of you are fatigued and you're worn out from trying to do too much. And you just crawled in here this morning. You're spent. Others of you are stressed out by a bunch of different things. And still some others of you are lonely, and that ache in your heart is sometimes unbearable. Could it be that God is trying to get your attention? That He's trying to say, hey, there might be some changes you want to make in your life, and I'll help you make those changes. But I do that in relationship with you. Maybe you've let that relationship that you've had with Him wane, and you've put it on the back burner of your life. Now is your time to pray and to say, God, please forgive me. Give me renewed energy and commitment to listen to You, to spend time with You, to spend time in the community of faith, to do those things that You want me to do. Or maybe you're here today and you've never established a relationship with God through Jesus. Well, you can pray like this. You can say, Jesus Christ, I understand that You want a relationship with me. I want to get to know You. And I want to talk with You. Help me to spend some time every day reading Your word. Help me to take advantage of the Bible studies and the classes and the teachers You've provided. Help me to be open to impressions that You want to give me. Help me to have a receptive heart, and even to see that my life circumstances and the pain that I'm experiencing can bring me closer to You. Today, Jesus, I want to open up my life to you and ask you to forgive me of my sins and be the manager, the Lord of my life. Lead me and guide me from this day forward. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we're humbled that you want to speak with us. Give us ears to hear and obedient hearts that do what you say. And we thank you, Father, again, for the great privilege that we have of being a part of what you're doing in this world. And we do want to respond to what you're telling us to do, even when it comes to supporting your work. And so we thank you for the opportunity to worship you by giving back to you. We thank you that we can support the advancement of your kingdom in this world. And so we love you, and we gladly and willingly and happily give back to your cause. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name.